Soulful. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, the Authors on Fire podcast. I am Pat Rulo, here today with a many-time returning guest and a Firebird Book Award winner, Donna M. Young, and her recent winning book is titled God with a Question Mark. Donna lives in a small Iowa town with her husband Marty, an ordained minister, who also does construction work and painting. A stage 4 cancer survivor, Donna started to write when, during treatments, she could do nothing else. And after years in management positions for large companies, she suddenly had nothing to manage and asked God to guide her to a new purpose. Grateful to be alive in order to learn more of Jesus, she now knows her purpose is to write for His glory, and she joyfully shares the gospel of grace with anyone who will listen. A licensed pastor herself, Donna speaks at churches, women's groups, and other Christian events. She and her husband have raised a blended family of 6 children, 23 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. Maybe there's more by now, we'll have to check. Their lives have been filled with unique challenges and wonderful blessings as they have discovered more of God's exquisite love in a lost and broken world. Welcome back, Donna.
And hi, Pat. It's always so great to talk to you. Yes, actually, those numbers have changed. It's 26 grandkids and 7 great-grandkids.
When I put this down on paper, I thought, I think last time I was wrong, too. So we've got 26 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren.
Oh my gosh,
I love that. I always, when I think of that again, I always think of family gatherings and you could rent out pavilions and buildings.
Absolutely. And, you know, he did say, go forth and multiply. So
there you go. You're just following the word, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well,
thank you so much for having me back. This book that we're about to talk about, God, was very controversial when I wrote it, and every time it's been discussed since then, I tend to get a lot of hate about this book until people read it.
How could people give you flack about something if they haven't read it? That's just nonsensical.
Well, I think because of the names of the chapters is all it is. Sometimes people don't attempt to delve into something and find out what's actually said before they present a front against you. You know, people are so easily offended these days, mm-hmm. and when they get offended, I am absolutely willing to answer any questions that they have.
Well, with that, I want to read your little blurb about the book where you state, what if you could ask God a question? I mean, any question. What would it be? Then you say, over our years in ministry, we have encountered many questions from regular, ordinary people in various situations who were angry, devastated, or just plain confused. And when asked how we thought we could speak for God, we've had the same reply each time. Every single answer to every single question regarding humankind is found in the Word of God, if we will just search it out. And you say in my newest book titled God, I have done just that. I have taken some of the toughest, most controversial, and most often asked questions concerning life's most pressing issues and have sought them out. And in this book, here are those long-awaited answers. May you be blessed in the readings of this book. So that kind of sets the stage here. So maybe today, I'm going to put a bit of the onus on you if you want to share any of the chapter names, if you want to read a little bit about it, and then maybe that'll give our listeners a better clue as to what they might find when they pick up this book.
Good idea. I think first I'll read the chapter names, and then I think I'll read the introduction in the book. And then one of the chapters, which is entitled The Same God? Gosh, that's a question we get constantly. You know, people are always saying, what difference does it make? I mean, we're all praying to the same God anyway, aren't we? And that's absolutely not true. Mm-hmm. So I go through the major religions of the world and many denominations and point out the difference, which is that Christianity is all about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. If a religion doesn't have Jesus Christ in it, obviously it can't be Christianity. I want people to know what the differences are in the different religions, because God is very specific about, if we don't know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, then we cannot enter into heaven. I don't want people to be left behind. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to get to the end of their days and realize that there's something they could have done about that and didn't, because people had led them down a false path.
And
I don't, I know my sister used to say to me that, but if they're not reading the Bible, if they're reading some other holy book, then they're already convinced that they're getting to whatever their version of paradise is on their own. So that's not going to make any difference to them. But you know what? We're supposed to at least tell people. We're supposed to share Jesus. Jesus himself said, before he left this place, he said that we're supposed to go forth and share the gospel with every creature. So if we're not doing that, then we're not doing our job as Christians. And if somebody's not a Christian and they want to argue about that, then I usually tell them, take it up with the big guy.
At some point, you got to let it go, right?
Right. I think my husband will argue with someone for a longer period of time, trying to prove Christianity. But, you know, if you have to argue with someone, then they are not open to hearing about it.
Right.
So, all we can do is share, and then people have to make up their own minds. That's what that's all about. Well, let me get to this table of contents. There are some very controversial chapters, and some of these caused my email and my phone and my post office box to light up with angry answers, angry letters, angry phone calls. But as I said, these are people who had not read the book and didn't know the answers that I had given. My sister reads all of my books and is one of my biggest critics. She will point out to me before anyone else will where she disagrees with me. But she went into this book saying, I'm not going to like this book. Convinced of that before she ever opened the first page. And then afterward, when we talked, she cried and said, you answered every one of those questions so lovingly, I couldn't even be mad at you.
Oh.
Even on subjects where we don't agree.
Right.
So the first chapter is the same God with a question mark, and that's where I... after much research and much reading and speaking to imams and rabbis and leaders of all the different religions and sects and just in all the religious world, getting their take on what is the important points and impact of their particular religion, I answered every one of those different religions and, you know, and cults and sects and so on with their own answers and with scripture. So it defines for the reader the difference between Christianity and those other religions. This is a question that we've gotten so many times. Why do bad things happen to good people? Another is, why does God allow suffering? Why must I forgive? Does God still perform healings and other miracles? How about tongues? Are they real? Should we speak in tongues? Is Satan real? And are there actual places called hell and heaven? Why would a loving God condemn people to hell? Who created God? Is God an uncaring egomaniac? We've actually had that one more than once. How can you possibly believe in a six-day creation scenario? What about evolution? Do you believe that we are facing an impending climate catastrophe What is our duty as Christians to the earth God has given us for a habitation? Does God get mad when we're angry with him or when we doubt him? Should Christians be involved in politics? What does God think about abortion? How does God feel about homosexuality? How many genders did God create? What about marriage? Does God care who we marry? What is the unpardonable sin? Is the Bible true and reliable? What is my purpose? Why am I here? And the seven prophecies which must be fulfilled before the coming of Christ. Those were all very interesting topics to research and expound upon. And the information to answer every single one of those questions is in the Bible. However, I did also have fun looking up scientific facts about many of them and adding that in as well. I'd like to read the introduction to the book, if that's all right.
Yes, please.
Okay. We are indeed living in perilous times. Just look around. Pandemics shutting down our world economy, riots, looting, and violence raising towns and cities across our country. Abortion on demand, killing our precious unborn, new euthanasia proponents springing up in positions of power, and natural disasters wreaking havoc on the land. Blatant hatred and division seem to be the theme of the day, often promoted by those who would destroy our society for their own political profit or monetary gain. I'm sure the Father weeps. He yearns for us to trust him and give ourselves wholly to him. He created one race, humanity. And just as he desires that we would each come to know Jesus as Savior, he also desires emphatically for us to love one another as he loves us, unconditionally, not dependent on the color of our skin, our political differences, our place of origin, or indeed even our religion. Political correctness has twisted our ability to see straight. People are literally scared to death to speak the truth for fear of being called racist, homophobic, xenophobic, and the like. Honestly, in many cases, honesty in many cases has taken a back seat to others' opinions of us. What a sad commentary on the state of our world and our country. I've heard many people comment that they see the book of Revelation playing out before our eyes, and I would tend to agree that it certainly looks as if the end is near. Though none of us knows the exact day or time when Jesus will return, we do know that multitudes of end-time prophecies contained in the Word of God have already been fulfilled. Around 50 years ago, we were told by Bible experts that there were still seven remaining biblical prophecies that must be accomplished before his coming, some of which in this modern age have already come to pass, and some which seem poised to be fulfilled. I've included these seven prophecies, to which I refer later in the book for you to examine. I'm thrilled about the prospect of the Lord's return. Eternity with Jesus will be indescribable blessings. How do I know this is unquestionably my own destiny? Because he told me in his word that to achieve that end, I must believe he is the Son of God and that he died to save me from my sin. I understand that I must confess my sin, believe on him, and invite him into my life to be my Savior and Lord. Indeed, I have with great joy. What a wonderful gift. I will grant that there are issues of concern, especially in these tumultuous days, even more so for those who have yet to invite Jesus into their hearts. For this reason, I sincerely recommend to those who do not know Christ as Lord and Savior that you take this opportunity to welcome him into your life with open arms. For there is nowhere he would rather be than in the hearts of his beloved children. For those who are already Christians, this scenario of end times is not nearly as frightening a concept, nor should it be, as it is for those who do not know our Messiah in a personal way. From where does our confidence arise? Our confidence is in the Lord. He is still God. He is still on the throne. And those of us who know his word also know that we can safely depend on him for our present situations and ultimately for our eternity. In our ministry, my husband, Pastor Marty, and I are faced with questions every day from non-believers, but we are also confronted by many inquiries that come from confused believers. In this book, God, I intend to address some of the most common questions that we've encountered throughout the years. Using pertinent scriptures, we will get to the bottom of those biblically important issues and hopefully help those who are questioning with answers that will bring them closer to a sense of peace in a perilous time. And I think I'll stop that there.
Thank you for writing it. It's not easy to put yourself out there to scrutiny and to negativity.
Yeah, well, you know, I think as we get older, we become less afraid of other people's opinions. And as a Christian, I know that God's opinion of me is way more important than the opinion of man. I think there's a little saying that goes around that says, I would rather stand before God and be condemned by men than to stand before man and be condemned by God.
Right.
Yeah. So that's very important to me. And with all the funerals that we've been to in the past couple of years, especially since the vaccinations came out and all of that, we have seen people go to meet their maker who didn't know Jesus as Savior, even though we had tried to share him. And the thought that somebody that we care about might be somewhere for eternity in suffering, you know, through nothing but a choice of their own, just breaks my heart. So as long as I live, I will share the name of Jesus with people. I mean, then it's up to them what to do with that name, but I believe that that is our purpose. I mean, I'm going to answer that later in the book, but that is our ultimate purpose. Knowing that as Christians, we are here to give God glory and to share the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. If you had the opportunity to do this all over, would you write this book again?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think God allows us to go through certain things in our lives, not because He's worried about what we're made of, or he's worried about whether or not we can handle something, but he wants us to know what we're capable of.
Yes.
I mean, since he is outside of time and knows our lives from the end to the beginning and beginning to the end, he knows exactly what's going to happen to us, and he already knows what we're made of. But when he allows us, say, in my own particular case, when he allows us to go through things as a child that we question and wonder about, why would you let me go through this? Well, to give you strength, to let you know that this too shall pass and that you can overcome this with my help. And then when you get to an age where you want to sit down and write a book like this because you see the world around you falling apart, and you want people to have some answers so that they can come to know the Lord as well, then you've already got that knowledge that, yeah, this too shall pass. I'm going to survive this.
We've talked about all of your books, like all 10 of them, Redemption, Resistance, Revelation, The Days of Grace, Grace Abounding, Monsters, Steps to the Cross. But this was your most challenging one as far as the way it was received.
Oh, absolutely,
by far.
This one.
Yeah,
sure.
By far.
Yeah, I had groups, of which I shall not name, who attacked me. And because I'm unfazed by attacks, I asked certain ones of them, did you bother to read that chapter? Do you know what my answer was there? Well, I know what the title of the chapter was. Okay, that doesn't answer my question. Do you know what I said in the chapter? Did you bother to read the response to the question? You know, I mean, I don't know how people can get so upset about something that they don't know the answer to.
Well, exactly, and it's not like it was your opinion. You backed this up with scripture, so I don't know how you argue with that.
Right. Correct. And I bet you I say this at least once a week, and have probably said it 10,000 times in my life. If you don't like the answer, take it up with the big guy.
Yep.
I mean, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And his answers to things don't change. I think people want the Bible to change with current culture and and fads, and it doesn't change. God's answers to us are in order to keep us safe, to keep us well, to help us get to where we need to get, which is to be with him for eternity. I have people say things to me like, if he wants us to act a certain way, why doesn't he just make us act that way? Well, then we'd be puppets, wouldn't we? I mean, before he created mankind, he created the angels. He's already got angels who have to obey him without choice. And when a third of those angels decided at the behest of Satan that they were not going to follow directions, then they were cast out of heaven and can never have the opportunity to change that. They can never have an opportunity to believe in Christ and come to Christ because they broke the rules, and those are the demons in hell. You know, I mean, so he doesn't want to cast us aside. He doesn't want us to go to hell. He makes every provision for our salvation. All we have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is his son. With our hearts, believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, the Bible's pretty specific. I think that sounds pretty easy. But there are people that will just fight that tooth and nail. Do not want to admit that Jesus Christ is God's son. You know, whole religions out there that refuse to come to that conclusion and confess Jesus as Lord. My heart breaks for them.
Well, all you can do is your part here, and you certainly have done that with this book. So thank you. Thank you for writing it and being willing to share it with the world. What else are you working on? Is there something else in the works?
Yes. Well, besides a children's book that I start and stop and start and stop and start and stop, I think in order to speak to children, you have to do it in a way that isn't going to be difficult for them. And my mind tends to work in the other direction.
Yes, I get that.
I don't know if I will ever get that children's book done. My husband is glad to, and he's quite the cartoon artist. He has already come up with illustrations for the book, and I don't have it finished. But the book that I am working on and continue to work on is River of Tears.
Yes.
As soon as little Rhea, our 4-year-old granddaughter, starts preschool the 23rd of August, I will have a lot more time to write. I intend to finish that book. I've already promised at a couple of speaking engagements recently that I will have that out before Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of these folks have read all my books and are looking for something to get as a Christmas gift.
Oh.
You know, and so I promised them that I would have it done before then.
Well, there you go. I know you will keep your promise.
Absolutely. My last speaking engagement, I think I had at least a dozen ladies come up to me and say, "Are you done with your latest book yet?" Nope, not yet. It's called 4-year-olditis.
There you go.
When she comes in the office and says, "Grandma, stickers? Play-Doh? Drawing, coloring, whatever it is that's on her mind." How do you not stop and play with her? I mean, this time only happens once. Once she starts school, her mom and I are both going to miss her while she's gone, but I bet you we'll get a lot more done.
Everybody's going to get more done. Oh, I love that. All right. Well, we will look forward to that. All right, Donna, as we begin to wrap up, anything that you wanted to highlight today that we haven't tackled yet?
Just my my website,
okay.
DonnaMYoungWriting.com. You know, I get so many visits to that all the time, and that outlines my books. It shows all the awards. All 10 of my books that I've written so far have won awards, and I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of that. I know that Speak Up Talk Radio in general isn't necessarily a Christian organization, though I believe you are a very strong Christian. And because there are categories, of books that have also won awards that I wouldn't consider Christian categories,
mm-hmm.
I am always very astounded whenever I get a message from Speak Up Talk Radio saying that any of my books have won awards. Because quite often, if an organization isn't designated as a Christian organization, some of my work might seem a little too Jesus-y for them.
I feel that we're extremely open to everyone.
And to every category.
Exactly,
sure.
And to every category as well. And I even allow people to bend the categories, if you will, because not all books fall into a nice cookie-cutter genre. In fact, just this quarter, we came up with the weird book category, meaning, you know, just a conglomeration. It's still valid. It just doesn't fit anywhere. It just doesn't fit into a normal
right.
category.
And it might be a very interesting book because it's weird.
Well, I use the word weird fondly. To me, it's a good thing.
Yeah. For those of us that are weird, it would be a fond reference.
Yes, that's maybe that.
I tell all my grandkids, and I've got lots of them, that they're all weird.
Yep.
But that's a good thing because they come from a weird family.
Thank you. As I say, weird is a good word for me. I don't use it in any kind of a harmful way. So we've got the weird book category. DonnaMYoungWriting.com. Thank you once again for sharing so honestly and openly with us, and then we're looking forward to Rivers of Tears.
Yes, so am I. I mean, so far, I believe it's one of my best.
Right.
But we'll get it done, and I think I had told you before, it follows the Trail of Tears,
yes.
Where so many Native Americans lost their lives, and then also there's a thread of the abolitionist movement
mm-hmm.
in there as well.
All right, my friend, Donna M. Young, thank you for being with us again today, and we will do this again, and you just take care, and God bless you.
Oh, and God bless you, Pat. Thank you for all you do. You are a shining light in this otherwise kind of broken, twisted, bent, misshapen world, and we really appreciate you. God bless you, my friend.